get more books. So we are the Denver Bhakta program, which is a training program for new men who want to be Krishna conscious. So just like in the Varnashram system, boys, we go to the Gurukul around the age of 5 and study under the guru. And when they were between 20, 22, 25, they would decide if they would get married or stay naishtiki brahmachari. And so they would go through this training to get a foundation in spiritual life and to have strength to be able to remain in Krishna consciousness in any situation throughout life. So this is also the principle of the Bhakta program. Except most of us did not have the opportunity to go to the Gurukul at 5 years old. So now we take, according to the time, place, and circumstances, the same principle and apply it. And so we know that the first two main processes of bhakti are shravanam and kirtanam. And we just heard that by hearing, you're going to reach perfect self-realization. And so this is the principle of reading together out loud. We're reading for relish. So I don't think I need this mic or this stand. Maybe I do. Okay. Om Jnanatimarandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagujatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadhutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master and unto the feet of all Vaishnavas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, along with his elder brother, Sanatana Goswami, as well as Raghunath Das and Raghunath Bhatta, Gopal Bhatta, and Srila Jiva Goswami. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, along with Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar, Srivas, and other associates. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna, along with their associates, Sri Lalita and Vishaka. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Oh, my dear Krishna, you are the friend of the distressed and the source of creation. You are the master of the gopis and the lover of Radharani. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. I offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold, and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You are the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, and you are very dear to Lord Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam bhavnavebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill the desires of everyone just like desire trees, and they are full of compassion for the fallen souls. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. I offer my obeisances to Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vas and all others in the line of devotion. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So we're on chapter 11, the universal form. This is part of our program, we do it every day. We're reading chapter 11, the universal form. And so we'll read just the translations. It's the bold print, not the purports. So it'll be moving fast. So, you ready? Would you like to start?
Chapter 11, the universal form. Arjuna said, by my hearing the instructions you have kindly given me about this most confidential spiritual subjects, my illusion has now been dispelled. O lotus-eyed one, I have heard from you in detail about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity and have realized your inexhaustible glories. O greatest of all personalities, O supreme form, though I see you here before me in your actual position as you have described yourself, I wish to see how you have entered into this cosmic manifestation. I want to see that form of yours. If you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O Master of all mystic power, then kindly show me that unlimited universal self.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, O son of Pritha, now see my opulences, hundreds of thousands of varied divine and multicolored forms. O best of the Bharatas, see here the different manifestations of Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, Ashvini Kumaras, and all the other demigods. Behold the many wonderful things which no one has ever seen or heard before. O Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine. This universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see and whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything, moving and non-moving, is completely here, in one place. But you cannot see me with your present eyes. Therefore, I give you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence. Sanjaya said, O King, having spoken thus, the Supreme Lord of all mystic power, the Personality of Godhead, displayed his universal form to Arjuna. Arjuna saw in that universal form unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, unlimited wonderful visions. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments and bore many divine upraised weapons. He wore celestial garlands and garments, and many divine scents were smeared over his body. All was wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, all-expanding.
If hundreds of thousands of suns were to rise at once into the sky, their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form. At that time, Arjuna could see in the universal form of the Lord the unlimited expansions of the universe situated in one place, although divided into many, many thousands. Then, bewildered and astonished, his hair standing on end, Arjuna bowed his head to offer obeisances and with folded hands began to pray to the Supreme Lord. Arjuna said, my dear Lord Krishna, I see assembled in your body all the demigods and various other living entities. I see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, as well as Lord Shiva and all the sages and divine serpents. O Lord of the universe, O universal form, I see in your body many, many arms, bellies, mouths, and eyes expanded everywhere, without limit. I see in you no end, no middle, and no beginning. Your form is difficult to see because of its glaring effulgence, spreading on all sides, like blazing fire or the immeasurable radiance of the sun. Yet I see this glowing form everywhere, adorned with various crowns, clubs, and discs. You are the supreme primal objective. You are the ultimate resting place of all this universe. You are inexhaustible, and you are the oldest. You are the maintainer of the eternal religion, the personality of Godhead. This is my opinion. You are without origin, middle, or end. Your glory is unlimited. You have numberless arms, and the sun and the moon are your eyes. I see you with blazing fire coming forth from your mouth, burning this entire universe by your own radiance. Although you are one, you spread throughout the sky and the planets and all space between. O Great One, seeing this wondrous and terrible form, all the planetary systems are perturbed.
All the hosts of demigods are surrendering before you and entering into you. Some of them, very much afraid, are offering prayers with folded hands. Hosts of great sages and perfected beings crying all peace are praying to you by singing the Vedic hymns. All the various manifestations of Lord Shiva, the Adityas, the Vasus, the Satyas, the Vishwadevas, the two Ashwis, the Maruts, the forefathers, the Gandharvas, the Yakshas, the Asuras, and the perfected demigods are beholding you in wonder. O Mighty Armed One, all the planets with their demigods are disturbed at seeing your great form, with its many faces, eyes, arms, thighs, legs, and bellies, and your many terrible teeth, and as they are disturbed, so am I. O all-pervading Vishnu, seeing you with your many radiant colors touching the sky, your gaping mouths, and your great glowing eyes, my mind is perturbed by fear. I can no longer maintain my steadiness or equilibrium of mind. O Lord of Lords, O refuge of the worlds, please be gracious to me. I cannot keep my balance seeing thus your blazing death-like faces and awful teeth. In all directions I am bewildered.
All the sons of Dhritarashtra, along with their allied kings, and Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and our chief soldiers also, are rushing into your fearful mouths. And some I see trapped with heads smashed between your teeth. As the many waves of the rivers flow into the ocean, so do all these great warriors enter blazing into your mouths. I see all people rushing full speed into your mouths, as moths dash to destruction in a blazing fire. O Vishnu, I see you devouring all people from all sides with your flaming mouths. Covering all the universe with your effulgence, you are manifest with terrible, scorching rays. O Lord of Lords, so fierce of form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. You are the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. Therefore get up, prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savyasati, can be but an instrument in the fight. Drona, Bhishma, Jayadratha, Karna, and the other great warriors have already been destroyed by me. Therefore, kill them, and do not be disturbed. Simply fight, and you will vanquish your enemies in battle. Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, O King, after hearing these words from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the trembling Arjuna offered obeisances with folded hands again and again. He fearfully spoke to Lord Krishna in a faltering voice as follows. Arjuna said, O Master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you.
Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done.
O great one, greater even than Brahma, you are the original creator. Why then should they not offer their respectful obeisances unto you, O limitless one, God of gods, refuge of the universe? You are the invincible source, the cause of all causes, transcendental to this material manifestation. You are the original personality of Godhead, the oldest, the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world. You are the knower of everything, and you are all that is knowable. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes. O limitless form, this whole cosmic manifestation is pervaded by you. You are air, and you are the supreme controller. You are fire, you are water, and you are the moon. You are Brahma, the first living creature. And you are the great grandfather. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you 1,000 times, and again, and yet again. Obeisances to you from the front, from behind, and from all sides, O unbounded power. You are the master of limitless might. You are all pervading, and thus you are everything. Thinking of you as my friend, I have rashly addressed you, O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, not knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jesting as we relaxed, lay on the same bed, or sat or ate together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. O infallible one, please excuse me for all those offenses. You are the father of this complete cosmic manifestation, of the moving and the non-moving. You are its worshipable chief, the supreme spiritual master. No one is equal to you, nor can anyone be one with you. How then could there be anyone greater than you within the three worlds, O Lord of immeasurable power? You are the supreme Lord, to be worshipped by every living being. Thus I fall down to offer you my respectful obeisances and ask your mercy. As a father tolerates the impudence of his son, a friend the impertinence of a friend, or a husband the familiarity of his wife, please tolerate the wrongs I may have done you. After seeing this universal form, which I have never seen before, I am gladdened, but at the same time my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead, O Lord of Lords, O abode of the universe.
O universal form, O thousand-armed Lord, I wish to see you in your four-armed form, with helmeted head and with club, wheel, conch, and lotus flower in your hands. I long to see you in that form. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Arjuna, happily have I shown you by my internal potency this supreme universal form within the material world. No one before you has ever seen this primal form, unlimited and full of glaring effulgence. O best of the Kuru warriors, no one before you has ever seen this universal form of mine, for neither by studying the Vedas, nor by performing sacrifices, nor by charity, nor by pious activities, nor by severe penances can I be seen in the form, in this form in the material world. You have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished. My devotee, be free again from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form you desire. Sanjay said to Dhritarashtra, The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, having spoken thus to Arjuna, displayed his real four-armed form, and at last showed his two-armed form, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna.
When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janardana, seeing this human-like form, so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind, and I am restored to my original nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Arjuna, this form of mine you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form, which is so dear.
The form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding.
My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. Thus then, the Bhaktivedanta purports the 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the universal form.
Hare Krishna. Congratulations. We did Chad today. So, yeah, okay. So, there's one verse in the beginning of the chapter where Krishna says, I give you divine eyes. And this is such a nice verse. He says, Natu mam shakyase jastum aninaiva sa chakshusa nivyam dadami te chakshu paishyame yogam aishwaram. So he says, but you cannot see me with your present eyes, therefore I give you divine eyes. Behold my opulence. So Arjuna asks, please show me your universal form. Krishna says, well, you can't see it with those eyes, so let me give you eyes. And so, Krishna can do this. He is a Bhagavan, which oftentimes is translated as that person who is full of all opulences. Does anybody know the six opulences? Yeah. And so these opulences, just a quick note. So I'll just repeat it so everyone can hear, whoever's listening online. So with the six opulences are beauty, wealth, strength, fame, knowledge, and renunciation. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Which one did I miss? Yeah, so these opulences is what makes one attractive in this material world and also in the spiritual world. But the difference is nobody here can possess these opulences in full. That means there's not one person here who has everything. They're not the most famous, they're not the most beautiful, they're not the... Today is a tough one, Prabhu, because our guru is arriving in an hour, and we gotta like prepare. Unless anyone really is fired up to go, one guy. So, sorry, Prabhu. Anyway, so we're not full. We don't have these things in full, and similarly, we're limited in so many spheres, sensually, intellectually, you know, can't fly without an airplane or some sort of machine. And so, therefore, we don't have perfect eyes. So we can't see God. We can't see so many things. You can't see what's on the other side of the wall. So, but Krishna, he can bestow upon a devotee these eyes, the ability to actually directly perceive him. And in this way, this is pulling at least theoretically, the philosophy from potentially metaphysical to actually experimental, experienceable. So this is one of the most intriguing points for some when they first hear the Bhagavad Gita, that actually this book is saying that by following a simple process of A, B, and C, that you'll get these results of never-ending internal happiness, understanding, and spiritual vision that we don't have now. But you can see things that you can't see now by following this process. You can see. And so, in this way, one can become enlivened to try the process and see for yourself. Of course, you might try it out for a week and think, well, I don't see nothing. What is up with this? But you'll see something. You'll get a little taste. Everybody gets a little taste in the beginning. You know, new bhaktas come. They get in the kirtan. You know, their feet are 12 inches off the ground and they got a huge smile on their face. They're feeling something. And so this is meant to show us that there's something to this. Something to this process. So you keep going. Because how pure are we? We need purification. And Krishna is so kind, he just is giving it. Lord Nityananda, so merciful, he's just giving it the purification. Like a never-ending flow of nectar. And so we can have faith that Krishna also wants to give us these eyes. He wants us to see, interact, engage with him. But what we need is determination, faith, and steadfastness, and forbearance. You know, if you're chanting japa, somebody comes and interrupts your japa every 10 minutes. You don't just say, all right, well, I'm going to quit chanting japa. You keep chanting japa. Tolerate. So anybody else have any realizations?
This after reading this chapter, I was reading Bhagavad Gita and I was kind of skeptical about it. Just like, you know, why does the author know so much, or why is he so matter of fact with everything that he says? Then I read chapter 11. It was like right before I got to associate with devotees. I'm like, oh wow, I want to see Krishna like this. Just like kind of what Pranjakarna Prabhu was talking about. Like Krishna gives you eyes to see it. And I like got really attracted by this universal form. And it didn't really even occur to me when the first time I read it, what Krishna was saying at the end, that like, you know, that actually this form, my two-handed form, is actually what everyone really wants to see. Not this universal form. As we see here, Arjuna became quite bewildered by it. Yeah. And just going off that, I kind of like to maybe ask you guys the question, like, I was kind of like, when we were reading this just now, I was thinking, like, it says, you know, Krishna says in two places, he says that not by, you can't see this with, by, you know, doing austerities, you can't see this by gathering knowledge, you can't see this by worship. And I was wondering if anybody could maybe talk about, you know, maybe, you know, sometimes, you know, I had this picture, like this vision of what is worship. And, you know, like we're doing some puja for the Archa Vigraha of Krishna. We're saying they were offering him some incense, you know, offering him flame, some cloth, water, flour. We're worshiping him, right? And it can kind of become mechanical, I guess, in some way. We're like, we're doing this. It's kind of like, you know, become fruitive with it. If I do this, I'm going to get this. We were reading the other day in Chaitanya Charitamrita that you can't expect any result. You remember this line at all? We're saying that we're kind of making this a big point, that we can't be doing things expecting some sort of result. And I was wondering what, if anybody could talk about the difference between this and, like, you know, when we're chanting japa. What's the difference when we're chanting japa versus worshiping the Lord? So it kind of is a form of worship, but it's a little different than that. I was wondering if anybody had an idea, could elucidate.
What's the question?
What's the difference between how is japa, chanting, different than worship?
Well, there are different processes of bhakti. Hearing is one, and worship is one. So there, you know, you might be offering some puja, but you're not hearing, are you? Yeah, and one way we understand how, you know, doing service is not different from chanting. It's also transcendental in quality. But then also, we hear the significance of hearing. So that's the difference. And also, it is said that, you know, if you try to do any of these processes without chanting, that it's not the same. We have to, the Yuga Dharma is congregational chanting, hearing. So we have to hear the sound vibration, you know. But also, you know, they perpetuate one another. It's different kinds of nourishment. That's about all I can say, but I have to say also, we have to, probably should get going if Gurudev's arriving at 2. If you're going to eat lunch and clean and shave your head, like, good luck. Is it okay if I end? Thank you. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Now let us offer our humble obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, who are just like desire trees that can fulfill the desires of everyone, and they're full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Vancha kalpaturubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha vaditanam pavnavibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha anantakoti vaishnavindaki.